And if you're a little bleary-eyed this morning, we don't blame you. If you woke up a little depressed, we understand. It wasn't until after 11 o'clock last night that Justin Williams of the L.A. Kings slipped the puck past Henrik Lundqvist, sealing a Game 1 overtime win. Now, at this point into the introduction to this segment, you're either muttering under your breath, "Brian, don't rub it in," or you're saying, "Brian, what in the world are you talking about?" Well, the New York Rangers are in the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time since 1994 and only the second time since the mid-70s. And despite last night's heartbreaker of a loss in Game 1, the blue has not bled from Rangers fans' sweaters. So let's talk about it with the one and only Bud Mishkin, host of One on One with Bud Mishkin and Sports on One, both on New York One. The Rangers are part of what's known as hockey's original six. Bud is part of the original team that helped start New York One. How many years ago now?
1992, September 8th, 1992.
And still going strong. So welcome back to the show.
My pleasure.
So even the most casual fan knows that the Rangers weren't really expected to be in this position. They didn't have a great regular season. Even as recently as Game 4 of the second round of the playoffs, they were booed off the ice.
And rightfully so.
What happened that day?
Oh, they played the Pittsburgh Penguins in the second round series. And in Game 4, they played a particularly bad game at the Garden, and they were trailing 3-1. They just played a terrible game. And then, as can happen in the playoffs, they kind of caught fire and won a Game 5 in Pittsburgh, came back to the Garden, won a Game 6, and then won a Game 7 at Pittsburgh and started to get on a roll. And that's what happens with the Stanley Cup playoffs. You know, get into the playoffs, and then if you get on a roll and you have a great goaltender, which the Rangers do, something might happen. And you win one series, another series, another series, and all of a sudden you're in the final.
And we're going to take calls from Rangers fans. Why do you love the Rangers? Why do you love hockey? And explain it to everybody else, since this is kind of the stepchild of the four major sports, I think it's fair to say, at least in New York. 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. But I mentioned, of course, that the Rangers haven't been in the championship series since they won the Stanley Cup in 1994.
Right.
Of the original six teams in the NHL, they have by far the fewest championships. Do they qualify in the context of hockey as sort of like, I don't know, the Chicago Cubs? Do they have lovable loser status?
I don't think it goes that far. Although the Cubs, when I think of that, there's the great line from the early 90s. I think it was 92. They hired a manager by the name of Jim Riggleman. And I wasn't there, but someone at the press conference asks Riggleman in the early 90s, "How about the Cubs not winning the World Series since 1908? And Riggleman's response was, "Anybody could have a bad century." Now, going into 1994, the 54-year curse was a big deal. That's a huge deal. And so people who were there, June 14th, 1994, and I was privileged to be covering it that night. It was a privilege because I had thought, is this night ever going to come? And all of a sudden I was in the building. And how does that happen? And it was a remarkable night. I think that will still stand out. What's happening now, I think the general feeling amongst hockey people in New York and Rangers fans is surprise. They were a pretty good team during the regular season. They started out slow, and they gained some throughout the course of the regular season. They have the new coach, Alain Vigneault, and of course they have the great goaltender, perhaps the greatest in the league, Henrik Lundqvist, who can, for years, has cured a lot of ills for the team. But I think the thought was that this spring, most Ranger fans would spend most of the time commemorating the 20th anniversary of the Rangers Cup in 1994.
And here they are trying to repeat it.
And exactly.
Bob in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Brian. I've been a Rangers fan since 1955 when their center was a stocky 5'8", Buddy O'Connor. And it's harder now to get into the playoffs because obviously there's more than six teams, but there's also a lot of bad teams and bad players because of expansion. But however, you were saying that you get on a roll and upsets can occur. Now, I didn't think that the Giants, I didn't think that the Rangers were going to sweep L.A., so this is just one loss. Mm-hmm. But I like their chances if they play the good basic hockey that they know how.
If. You know, a lot of things have to go right for them. Would it be a huge upset if they beat Los Angeles? No. The Kings are a terrific team, though. They won the Cup 2 years ago. They played a great conference final against the Chicago Blackhawks just recently and won. They have a pretty terrific goaltender themselves. The Rangers did some good things last night, mostly in the early parts of the game. But when you get outshot 20-3 in the third period, as the Rangers did, something is not happening. That's right. They got a bad break in the overtime, a bad bounce, and they gave the puck away. Never a good thing at any time of the game, and certainly not in overtime, and that led to the Kings' overtime goal.
Dennis in Long Beach, you're on WNYC with Bud Mishkin. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Brian. Thank you. I just wanted to call and say that I don't watch the regular season games. I watch playoff hockey. It's for a sports fan who watches sports, you have to take into consideration of the size and the speed of the play and the beauty and the grace of the play. And I try to watch all the playoff games I can. And it's just more exciting now that, you know, the Rangers are in my hometown team is actually participating in the finals. So I was commenting on your question relative to, you know, who watches hockey, the Steph Charles of New York sports.
Uh-huh.
The playoffs are just incredible. They're exciting. They're intense. And, you know, the regular season seems to be long, like a lot of our seasons are. And also, in playoff hockey, they seem to avoid the penalties. That's one of the critical points. Avoid the power play. Avoid the penalty. Avoid the nonsense. So you're really watching pure hockey at the best skill level that you could possibly watch.
Dennis, nicely put. Thank you very much.
I think there's a sense, there's clearly a different feel, obviously, during the playoffs. I do think there's clearly less fighting, which is a whole other issue that you can spend hours talking about. Should there be fighting in hockey or should there not be fighting in hockey? It does exist occasionally in the playoffs, but the possibility of taking a penalty, a dumb penalty, that will hurt your team, that's one of the major reasons why. And there's so much energy that has to go into a playoff game in the first place that you rarely see fighting in a playoff game, which is not to say there isn't intensity or certainly hits that are borderline, as we saw in the last series between the Rangers and Montreal. One Ranger player got penalized, suspended for a hit. One Montreal player got suspended for a bad hit. I do think this notion of I think watching the game, though, in the regular season is still a lot of fun. I'm a bad one to ask. I would watch a game on July 4th. Having said that, you understand when you turn on a game, it's the playoffs, there is definitely something different about it.
I want to digress for a minute, Bud, since we're lucky to have you here on the day after Don Zimmer died.
Right.
And yeah, that's not the mayor of Hoboken, that's Don Zimmer, for those of you who follow politics more than sports. But Don Zimmer, longtime manager for the Cubs, bench coach for the Yankees, the Rays, 66 years in baseball. He was big with the Red Sox for a while. He met Babe Ruth in high school, played with Jackie Robinson, coached Derek Jeter, famously ran out to the mound as this little – isn't he the one that Bill Lee called the gerbil?
Yes, yes, when he was managing the Boston Red Sox in the 70s.
And Bill Lee hated him.
They were not the best of pals, and Zimmer wasn't amused by the nickname.
But this little sort of gerbil of a man ran out to the mound and was ready to try to tackle the pitcher, Pedro Martinez, when Don Zimmer was a Yankees bench coach and Pedro was pitching for the Red Sox after, I guess, he hit a Yankee player with a pitch.
It was really at the height of the Yankees-Red Sox bad blood during the 2003 postseason playoffs. And it was really at its height. There was a series that the Yankees would eventually go on to win at Yankee Stadium. But Zimmer was absolutely beloved. He, as kind of the bench coach or advisor to Joe Torre when the Yankees won the
He also, I think, World was the Series. Mets' original third baseman.
Yes, yes, he was on
Opening
the field.
Opening day, 1962.
Absolutely, and I believe the stat was he went 0-34 and was traded later on that year. But he was a baseball lifer and absolutely beloved as such.
And he was never going to be the best player or the most inspiring manager or the handsomest guy in the room. He just seemed to be able to know what role he would play best and accept it and go after it.
From all indications, he was a simple guy who knew what he loved, and he loved baseball. He got married, the story goes, when he was in the minor leagues at the ballpark, and lived an entire life in baseball.
Bill in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Back to hockey.
Okay, thank you. It's supposed to be about hockey today. I moved here from Vancouver 15 years ago. I'm a Ranger fan, but a diehard Vancouver Canucks fan. And for those who know this, John Tortorella, Rangers coach fired last year, was hired by Vancouver. Alain Vigneault, Vancouver coach fired last year, hired by the Rangers. When they had an ordinary or mediocre start to the year, I kept saying to everybody, all my friends, don't worry, wait, this guy's going to turn them around. And there's just some stuff that Vigneault does that I've watched him do for years in Vancouver. He puts his best offensive players out on the ice when they're in the offensive zone. He puts the checkers out when they're in the defensive zone. He gets maximum offense and defense out of the players that are best at it. Tortorella would put guys out. He puts out his best offensive players blocking shots and killing penalties and throwing their bodies around. Tortorella ran the Rangers into the ground. And Vigneault is a true technocratic master at coaching. And it took a while for it to take, but I can see all the signs I saw in Vancouver for years that took the Canucks to the final.
Bill, growing up in Vancouver, you just have hockey in your blood. You go out and you play all the time. I don't know that Vancouver is that cold a city like some of Canada. But is that it? Like, this is why people here don't watch hockey as much as they do in Canada, because they grow up playing football, baseball, basketball?
Yeah, well, you know, in Vancouver, I mean, it's a warm climate like Seattle, but it's hockey mad because it's Canada.
Right.
Here, you know, it's not in people's blood as much, but the people that do like hockey here like it just as much as Canadians do.
That's true. My son,
he's 11 years old. I coach him. He's absolutely fanatical. And anybody who hasn't played hockey doesn't understand what it feels like to play it. It's like having jets on your feet.
Bill, I'm going to leave it there. We're going to run out of time. Thank you very much.
Here's the difference to me, or here's part of it. Hockey diehards here, and I consider myself one of them, feel like we're always having to kind of explain and defend the sport and defend the league if something happens. And it's almost like amongst hockey diehards, amongst hockey fans, there's an understanding. We understand. We get it. Years and years and years ago, before I was married, I was dating a woman in Canada, so I'd be up there a lot. And I remember going into bookstores, and you'd be surrounded by rows and rows and rows of books about hockey. Whereas here in New York, you go into a bookstore and maybe there were three, and two of them were about Wayne Gretzky, all right? It was like you'd have to explain things here, except there are a lot of hockey fans here.
Yeah.
In Canada, I remember, A, everybody knew or knew someone who was in the league. B, you never had to explain the rules. And one time in the fall, I went to a skating arena. It was too warm still outside to skate outside. And I remember there weren't skates to rent. The assumption was, you have skates.
So I'll wrap it up with this. Mayor de Blasio and the mayor of L.A. made a bet on this series. The mayor from the losing city has to go on Jimmy Fallon and sing a song about the other city. So I guess the real losers either way will be the viewers of The Tonight Show.
You know what? The winners are hockey fans in New York, because I think this has been a pleasant surprise. The Rangers are a good team. Despite what happened last night, I think it'll still be a terrific series.
You have any 10 seconds on predictions or how to watch the game for the uninitiated and enjoy it?
How to watch the game. Just enjoy the fact that you're watching the greatest sport on earth at its greatest, the Stanley Cup Final.
Greatest
how good of a dodge is that as far as not coming up with a prediction?
A dodge, except for choosing your greatest sport. Bud Mishkin, host of One on One and Sports on One on New York One. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Brian.
Go.